Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll get to the Colts in a second. We got a nice long segment here, so we'll get to the Colts in just a second. The question that Seth asked the audience out there is, how far out do you go where you from Houston, in the Houston area, where you still consider yourself a Houstonian? You still say you're from Houston, right?
Right. Like, even like, and especially obviously, if you're talking to somebody else from Houston, you're going to be more specific. But like, let's say you're traveling and somebody asks, "Where are you from?" Do you say outside Houston or do you say I'm from Houston?
Yeah. Here we got a few texts. First, shout out to anybody who's up this morning, especially if you've stayed up all night. Shout out to you. From Katie, don't want to admit I'm a Houstonian, but yeah, Houstonian, there aren't any K-Town hats.
Yeah. That's okay. That's a good point. The sports teams pull you in a little closer,
sir,
yeah.
Sir or ma'am, it sounds like you've identified at least some sort of business opportunity out there.
Yeah,
a little K-Town action out
K-Town.
There. K-Town. Yeah, man.
K-Town. The high school shirt. I like wearing a good high school shirt. There's the T-shirt. That's one thing that people overlook sometimes is the golden age of T-shirts
we
live in.
Yes.
Where so many different people on the web can print up like anything that you want in the world.
I'm a sucker for all of them, dude. If they show up on my Instagram feed, I'm clicking, and I don't care who I'm buying. I don't even know who I'm buying them from. I'm like, I must have that T-shirt.
I've always wondered about Magnolia. Because it feels like, I mean, if, you know, Jimmy Butler will say, will insist I'm not a Houstonian, I'm a Tombaulian. I feel like, so I've always kind of put Tomball as the place that you get out there and it feels a lot more like suburbs than it used to, but it just still feels different. But then you get way out to Magnolia. I would say, are people from Magnolia saying I'm a Houstonian? I would imagine no.
It's a good question. Back in the day, I don't think they would have, and I say this because my ex-wife and I bought land in Magnolia back in the late 90s.
We were gonna, smart move. You held on to it, right?
So anyways, we were going to move.
I knew you had to help out to it.
I wouldn't be sitting here making wiener jokes with you if I had sold it. But back then, like, we viewed Magnolia as like, oh, we're going to get out of the big city. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and now you drive up there and it's really just a continuation of Tomball is all it is. Like, there's no... other than the sign that says "Welcome to Magnolia," you wouldn't know you were leaving civilization. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to ask. I think Steve McKinney's in Magnolia. I don't know. I've never driven the hell up there for him. Steve comes to me.
That's right.
But I'll ask him if he considers himself a Houstonian. Now Steve is a smart business person, and I'm guessing he's I'm a Houstonian. Yeah.
What you're saying is he would have held on to the land.
Steve totally would have held that. Yeah.
I'm like, I gotta get out of this payment.
Well, I told you, like, Gary Walker, when we first got here, Gary bought land in Rocheron,
yeah.
And he was, Gary's a farm kid, and I think just looked at it as he got like 100 acres, and just he could go, boar hunting and do all that stuff and camp out. We used to have, you know, we used to have like cookouts on Friday nights down there.
That's fun.
But he held on to it for a long time, I think. And I'm guessing he did pretty well.
Probably.
With it. It was 100 acres, probably smack dab in the middle of a bunch of future housing.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. Text message, I live in Huffman, and I say I live outside of Houston. Text message, I live in Lake Jackson. I just say outside of Houston when I'm out of town.
Yeah.
So I mean, and those are pretty far. Those are pretty far out. I live in Lufkin, but I'm a native Houstonian. I'm so happy for the Odyssey app so I can hear you guys everywhere. I got Payne and Pendergast, the best team out there. That's not even somebody answering the question. That's just somebody giving us love. So I'm going to read that all day, every day right there.
I'm looking at the little satellite. It's almost like the electrons that fly around the nucleus of Houston. I know that's not how it works, but whatever. I feel like the Woodlands is its own city, and yet we still feel like that's part of Houston.
Yeah.
Let's stop looking at it from other people's perspective. Let's look at it from our perspective.
Yeah.
I think of the Woodlands as Houston.
Sorry,
I think of
Woodlands. You're part of us.
Rosenberg. Rosenberg might be the furthest flung, and then like League City. Dickinson.
Yeah.
Those are pretty far flung, and yet I feel like, yeah, that's Houston. Whereas Sealy, if we're going out on I-10, I feel like Sealy is Sealy.
Yeah.
And Sealy is out there, and I'm sure it's become more suburban than it used to be, but I don't look at that as Houston per se.
The only thing I would say about League City and down that direction is those are really close to the shore, you know, to water, and so they feel maybe a little more detached from the big concrete jungle that is Houston, you know?
Well, the thing that makes it super weird is the fact that, like, Clear Lake is actually part of the city of Houston.
Yeah.
And, like, all those... used to not even be physically attached to it, but then I think they incorporated Pearland or something. There's like a little peninsula of the city limits that extends down to NASA.
We're so out over our skis right now.
So it feels like there's a little like Florida Peninsula like type of action with Clear Lake.
Yeah,
I mean Clear Lake is technically Houston.
Yes, yeah,
that's not even like no feel about it or anything. They're actually somehow weirdly a city, the part of the city of Houston.
All right, keep texting in 713-572-4610. The Texans, we're going to...
Am I thinking of Friendswood? I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This game against the Titans, we're going to dig into the game against the Titans as the week rolls on. We'll have a little more clarity, hopefully, over the next day or two as to exactly how we think the Texans handle this thing. In the meantime, you know, the Texans have clinched the 4 seed now. Well, they clinched the 4 seed last weekend, but they've been in the playoffs and won the division for the better part of 2.5 weeks now. And yet, oddly enough, the mood around the team is as low as it's been in a long, long time, based largely on the ineptitude of the offense. But the good thing is, the silver lining in all this is if you're somebody who just like, okay, hey, at least we're in the playoffs, we're in the dance. If the Indianapolis Colts are considered the best competition to the Houston Texans in the division, then the Texans might be division champs for a long, long time. It is unraveling in Indianapolis after that loss to the Giants on Sunday. And again, if they won that game, the Colts, they would still be mathematically in it. They wouldn't be in the playoffs, but they would still be mathematically alive. That eliminated them. That's as embarrassing as it gets. A Giants team that is the worst team offensively in football, they're the worst across many different metrics, scored 40-something points on you, and Drew Locke had an historic day. Drew Locke had a day that when you go, the only quarterbacks to do this, 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 and this in the same game are guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, this is what I was hopeful for, and I think it might be coming to fruition, is that Shane Steichen might be a really good quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator, but not quite a head coach, because there's so many things about that team in which I like to not venture too much into the gossipy side of things. There's always some kind of smoke or something weird, or like the Anthony Richards saga is all just a bunch of strange stuff that it seems dysfunctional. The stories about the owner and the way he operates, it just seems like a dysfunctional mess. And it seems like Shane Steichen doesn't necessarily have control over either his young quarterback, his podcasting, linebackers, everything. So I hope they stick with both Anthony Richardson and Shane Steichen for at least 3 more years.
Yeah.
And give it a good run.
Yes.
Because I don't think either of those guys are going to make it.
I don't either. And the word is they're rolling with Richardson next year. Like, he's their guy for another year, which is awesome. Now, the thing that has really highlighted this over the last few days is they've basically alienated their loudest voice that they've had out there. You know, like Pat McAfee, who has as big a platform as anybody in the broadcasting business, put out a long tweet about all the red flags in the organization. And apparently there's people in the organization and in Indianapolis, just at large, fans that are angry with McAfee when he's critical of the Indianapolis Colts. They view him as some sort of Judas or a traitor. And he put out a long, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the parts that really pop with this is where he says, a blind person could see the red flags on this team. Work ethic questions, never happens on good teams. Preparation commitment questions, never happens on good teams. Late to meetings, never happens on good teams. Late to skipping treatment, never happens on good teams. The franchise quarterback tapping out of a game on third down in the red zone because he was tired, never happened in the history of the NFL.
Yes, that is 100%
true. It's a good list.
To answer, somebody always asks this question about Anthony Richardson tapping out. They'll say, hey, other position players do it all the time. Right. It's accepted with those, especially like defensive line. It's kind of like hockey. Like guys need to blow every now and then. It's very physically taxing. Anthony Richardson had scrambled to run for zero yardage and he was too tired after that. And quarterbacks, the quarterbacks are theoretically the leader of the offense. They don't leave the field unless there's a package that you're going to use or whatever it might be. But especially when it's third and goal in a game in which you're trailing. That's the part that I don't think the national media even did a good enough job of pointing that out. People are like, well, all right, well, what if he was actually dinged up a little bit or something? Like, no, he himself said he was tired, and it was third and goal when they were down by a touchdown. It was the strangest thing anybody's ever seen. By the way, I did appreciate that he said he was late to skipping treatment. I don't know how exactly that works. Like at some point you just missed treatment completely. You weren't late to skipping.
He hit a slash in between the two of them.
Oh, late,
he
said, slash,
late to
skipping.
Slash
okay.
skipping treatment. Yeah. Late to slash skipping treatment.
No, it's late slash skipping.
Okay.
You said late to late
I misread
to
it.
Skipping.
Yeah, I misread it. Here was J.J. Watt yesterday on the McAfee show. J.J.
You might as well be Anthony Richardson. That's
I am.
How slipshod
I'm gonna tap. You want me to tap out of this segment? You want me to tap out and leave?
Yeah.
J.J. Watt was on the Mac. J.J. could not wait to talk about this. When McAfee tweeted that whole thing out, J.J.'s like, oh, I wish it were Wednesday. I guess he comes on every Wednesday. He came on a day early to talk about this because he was on yesterday on McAfee, I believe. And here was J.J. Watt reacting to McAfee's long list of grievances with the Indianapolis Colts.
I hear you. No, you supported him for a long time. You did. Like, I through tough times, you supported him for a long time. I think you had you said, no, I support them. I will support them. And then they didn't do it. So here we are, which I don't think anybody's really disagreeing with what you're saying. I think there's obviously, like, when you just look at the stats and you look at the reality of the situation, it is what it is. On paper, you literally can look at it and see this has not worked out. Whatever you have tried, whatever it has been, it simply has not worked. So you have to find a different path. If you're an organization like the Indianapolis Colts, who has obviously been a great organization, who is in this division, who this division has been bouncing a little bit all over the place, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's been considered one of the toughest divisions in football over time.
No.
And you haven't won it when everybody else has won it twice. And there's a couple teams in there, or at least one team in there, that's had the number one draft pick multiple times in that same time span. And they found a way to win it twice, at least. Like, you have to do something different. And I'm very curious. I'm very excited to see what happens in this offseason, because I also imagine there's probably some people pushing back, being like, okay, well, we also don't want to just give in and seem like Pat McAfee is running this entire show. But you've said a lot of things that a lot of people need to hear.
Yeah. And the McAfee thing, like, he's got a powerful voice, man. Like, they're hearing it in the building over there.
They're hearing it, and I think that the funny thing is, as JJ's saying all that, I think you could say a lot about the Texans offense and the way things have gone this year. There's just, at some point, there needs to be something changed or fixed. It's not a matter. The injuries are only a partial explanation for why it's gotten as bad as it's gotten. But another, I would keep hearing people all year long talk about the injuries on the offensive line. And it was like no, there haven't been. It was like, this was largely a relatively, until as of late, like a relatively healthy offensive line. They systemically need change. The one thing about that whole exchange yesterday when JJ was on, Pat McAfee was ranting at one point, and this wasn't really good for radio, but it was a hilarious visual. McAfee makes mention of they gave an award to the mascot that's supposed to go to a player, and simultaneously, even these guys, they're both in different spots. You could tell J.J. Watt and A.J. Hawk didn't understand what McAfee was talking about, and they like simultaneously gave that confused puppy dog look.
I was confused, like, too.
Yeah. So, okay, this is where I can't trust McAfee, though, unless maybe I saw it out of context. I feel like that was overblown. There's a salute to service award, which you give to somebody in the organization for work that they've done, supporting the military.
Yeah.
So I think it was easy headline porn that the Colts gave it to the mascot, but they gave it to the guy, earmuffs everybody. So they gave it to the guy who works very, very closely with the mascot. You can almost say theoretically he's inside the mascot. So they gave it to that guy that works with the mascot, kids. And like the guy's, yeah, he's traveled all over the world, like been in, multiple places. He does a boatload for the military.
Sure.
So that part of it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I feel like if McAfee's using that as part of his argument, like, all right, dude, like let's not just throw everything into a big bucket. That was a deserved award for that guy.
Yeah, it weakens your argument for sure. When you talk about having to answer for it, Shane Steichen, in his very next press conference after McAfee started talking about all the professionalism, and keep in mind, this is the team in the AFC South that is the closest to the Houston Texans right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't get complacent, Texans, just because the other three teams in your division are janky-ass ratchet organizations. Here was Shane Steichen having to answer the question, this is a great cut, about the allegations of tardiness to meetings inside the building.
Yeah, Shane, I don't know if you saw Pat McAfee's postgame tweet or if you were made aware of it, but he talked about players showing up late for treatment, for meetings. He wondered about the accountability. Is that true? Buck suggested that it was an issue at times throughout the season.
Yeah, I think with any team, right, not everyone's going to be on time every time, but there is accountability and guys are held to a standard. And that is talked about in-house.
Okay. Buck, by the way, is DeForest Buckner, who, in his press availability, he admitted, like, yeah, there's been professionalism issues in the building.
Yeah, that's I remember talking to people about, you'll never guess which team, but the Jets. being on the Jets at various times where, like, it was just guys were kind of just treating it like their own personal office. You know, and especially when your veteran players start doing that, like just kind of rolling in whenever they get to the building and everything, which is so far and foreign from anything I was ever involved with in any of my, like I played for three different head coaches and they were all really competent coaches. It was Gary Kubiak, Dom Capers, and Tom Coughlin. Very, very professional, very competent. And it was a big deal if you were late. It sucked. They got, it's a hefty fine. I don't know how much it is these days, but I don't care how rich you are. You know that several hundred dollars is a lot of money to be paying just because you couldn't get to a meeting on time.
Yep.
And it's as simple as that. So that's where I wonder if Shane Steichen's got an issue with serial tardiness, that, man, that's day one of the meetings at training camp and everything else is like, yeah, respect everybody else's time, be a professional, be on time.
The guy who's probably going to get chopped over this, it would appear, is General Manager Chris Ballard, who, when he first got to Indianapolis, he got a lot of love, man, for his talent evaluation. And they've got good players on the team. Like, I don't think he's done a terrible job assembling talent. They've had quarterback issues, obviously. They've had a different quarterback start every year, it feels like, every time, for every year he's been there. That's not even an exaggeration. That's practically the truth. He's had three different head coaches, 12 starting quarterbacks. This is Ballard, under Ballard's watch. Different week one starting quarterback every year from 2017 to 2023. They've got a sub-500 record. They've never won a division championship. And in that same time frame, the Jags, the Titans, and the Texans have all won at least two. Texans have won four. Jags have won two. And the Tennessee Titans have won two. They've been to the playoffs twice in 8 years. They've got one playoff win. Unfortunately, that was here at NRG Stadium in 2018. That sucks. That the only thing keeping Ballard from having a winless playoff ledger is the 2018 Houston Texans. They've had multiple big games and big leads. They've choked throughout Ballard's tenure there. So the thought is that they're not going to fire Steichen. There's even rumors that I saw that I think it was Albert Breer yesterday. I saw a video with Albert Breer where he's talking about they may let Steichen help pick his GM.
Yeah,
Ballard's in trouble. I think it's just one of those things. Like, may have run its course.
It gets to be one of those times, and it is. It's why the quarterback position is just such a career killer, or just it's a kingmaker, depending on how you handle it. And the tough thing is that with Ballard, he's done a really good job putting competitive rosters together. He's just had a really hard time replacing Andrew Luck, obviously. And in that time period, though, it's become very, very clear that the old days of just having to draft the quarterback in the first round, except for the rare circumstance where it wasn't a first round, that's kind of been blown out of the water. And people have done more by trading for a Tom Brady or winning a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback, like all these different things. And he just hasn't been able to get it done. So ultimately, yeah, you got to move on, I suppose.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm happy if Ballard gets fired from a Texans perspective, because I think the chances of them finding as good a GM are less than 50%.
Yeah.
I think he's better than your average GM. But then likewise, I hope that they keep Shane Steichen and Anthony Richardson as long as possible.
I'm with you on that.
I think Shane Steichen's probably a really good offensive coordinator who's just not cut out to be a head coach.
Yep.